For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Last week on this broadcast, we looked at the final days of a great hero from the Old Testament. Joshua first came on the scene as one of the two spies who believed God would deliver an abundant promised land to Israel. Many years later, as the end of Joshua's life was near, he had some important words for the nation of Israel. Today we continue as Pastor Holland concludes with part two of this message, Final Orders.
Second of all, there was the challenge. It's all about the wrath of God. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. Be sure your sins will find you out. As a child of God, you will stand responsible for what you do when you know that it's wrong and against the Word of God. See, he warned them, and he's still warning them today. Then he was a challenge about the works of God. He said, guys, I want to tell you what God did. I'm not going through it again for sake of time this morning, but I tell you, all of us know the story about the crossing of the Red Sea and the miracle that was performed there that day. It was not that they went over on dry ground. It was not that they built a bridge. It was that God rolled the waters of the Red Sea back, and they went through on dry ground. And when they did, he caused the darkness and the waves to come down on them and destroy them. And friend, if God had not been for them, they would have been destroyed. And now he's challenges them about the works of God. Friend, today I go back and think in my life of all the good things that God has done for me. I don't have time this morning to share them with you, but I'll just start by saying the first thing is God saved my soul and gave me eternal life, and I'm on my way to heaven today. I'm grateful today that God's blessed me time and time again, but I'm not motivated by just what God's done for me. I'm motivated by the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross. That's what he did for me in order that I might have salvation. He loved me even when I was unlovable and lost. He came to us even in our sin. He called us unto himself. He saved us when we asked him to. He forgave all our sins and our failures. He adopted us into the family of God. He has promised us a home in heaven. He has met our needs. He has blessed our lives. He has never left us or forsaken us. And even though at times we may have felt it, he never has forsaken us. Think with me today of the greatness and goodness of God. Think where you would be today had it not been for God intervening on your behalf somewhere in your life to do good things for you. Let the blessings of God be the motivator for you to renew your relationship to him today. Friend, I tell you what, the songwriter said, I just can't praise him enough for what he's done for me. I tell you today, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. But I know today that he has saved me by his word. And then thirdly, he not only challenges them there, but he challenges them there about the will of God. Look with me in verse number 14 of chapter 24. I'm going to read through verse 18. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose lands you dwell. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. I want you to know today he was challenging them about the will of God. Friend, there's some of you today need to make a decision about your relationship with God. First of all, I know I'm speaking today, the message is pretty much for Christians, people that have been saved and know the Lord. But I tell you today, the choice is either God or the devil. It's either heaven or hell. It's either good or bad. It's either doing right or doing what is wrong. And I challenge you today, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Decide, yes, I'm talking to saved people today. Yes, there's saved people that need to make up their mind who they're going to serve. If it's God, serve God. And if it's the world, let it be the world. But by the grace of God, let us not make a mistake in not serving God in the way that we should. The whole church today, we need to get right with God and do what He'd have us to do. We need to lose ourselves in Him, understanding what He's done for us. Friend, there's no man ever done for me what Jesus did. There's nobody that has ever rewarded me as much as Jesus has. There's nobody ever given me as much as Jesus has. And I tell you, a long time ago, I decided it's for me and my house we would serve the Lord. But He said, choose you this day. Then, look, to consider God's witness in verse 19 through 24. I want you to know today that we need to serve the Lord. We need to be faithful to Him. But you can't have it both ways. And friend, if you're a child of God and you don't obey God, there's going to be consequences that literally will cost you in time. And then thirdly, we see Joshua's covenant in verses 25 through 33. And so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law. And he took a great stone and he set it there under oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his own inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Serah, and which is the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. I want you to understand today, it involves a great stone. Before Joshua dies, he erects a monument. Now today, you and I don't erect monuments that we go back to remember, but there ought to be some things that help us to remember the things God has done in our life. Here's the big thing. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you promise the Lord that you'll faithfully serve Him all the days of your life? Have some of you kind of went back on your promises? Have some of you failed in the promises that you made in the past that you was going to serve the Lord and you was going to be faithful to God and you was going to do whatever God would have you to do? But somewhere along the line, you've kind of gone back and you've gone against. Can I remind you today, it's far better not to make a promise than it is to make one and break it. The Bible says it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 5:1-5, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice to fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and the fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow a vow and not pay it. Are you doing the thing the Lord told you to do? Are you obeying Him? Are you serving? Can you honestly say that you are fulfilling the promises you made to God? And this is what they've done, and that's what He challenged to do. It not only required a stone of remembrance, but it required also a gravestone. In verses 29 through 31, we find the gravestone of faithfulness. The first gravestone mentioned is that of Joshua. He speaks of Joshua's faithful. He had been the man God had used. He was the man that decided. He said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was the man that had led them in the way that he needed to go. In verse 32, we find the gravestone of fulfillment. The Bible said Joseph, when he died, he was buried in Egypt, but they took his bones with them and buried him in Shechem. This is the grave of fulfillment. The Bible said in Genesis 50, verse 24 through 26, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, several hundred years later, his grave is dug, the coffin is lowered, and the body is placed in the ground that had been promised to him hundreds of years before. If you listen carefully, you'll understand the grave of Joseph after he was buried. You might have heard, I don't know, and again, this is strange, somebody suggested that perhaps his old bones just had a sigh of relief when he was placed in the place that God had promised him. Friend, today, if you'll stay faithful to God, he'll place you in the land that he's promised you, just as sure as I'm standing here. And then in verse 33, and lastly, there's the gravestone of finality. We find in verse 33, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the mount. His grave is the grave of finality. The death of Eleazar marks the changing of the guard in Israel. All the old-timers are gone now. All those that came out of Egypt, wandered in the wilderness now, they passed off the scene. All those that God used in a mighty fashion, they've passed away from us. Now the mantle of service is passed on. Friend, it's a shame today when old soldiers die that there's not young soldiers to take up the cross and bear it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm telling you, the reason we invest in young people around here is because if God doesn't raise up some young people through us, there's not going to be nobody to carry the torch when us older folks die off. And except God raise up some young people to take our place. If the Lord tarries, where is Victory Baptist Church going to be in 10 years from now? I hope I'm still here, but if I'm not, where will it be? What about 20 years from now? What about 25 years from now? Friend, I want you to understand today, I want to do all I can to enlist people to continue to follow the Lord in their commitment. I want to challenge them. I want to warn them. I want to tell them, listen, I want you to know that those who have known the glory of the Lord, they have died off now. But those that are left behind, they need to see the glory of God. And they need to see the power of God. The God of Elijah is not dead. Excuse me. The God of Moses is not dead. The God of Joshua is not dead. He's alive and well. And I tell you what, today he's still able to do for you and I what we cannot do for ourselves. D.L. Moody, and I'll close, heard a man by the name of Henry Varley say one day in a message, "The world hath yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." And that day, D.L. Moody said, "I will be that man."
How will you be remembered? Will you be the grandmother, the uncle, the friend who pointed people to Christ? What will you leave behind that is everlasting? We hope you have accepted God's Son to secure life everlasting. We would be honored to help you in your Christian walk. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.